Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
I'm here and honored to speak before you. I admire so many of you in this room and I'm proud of you. Seeking God with you is a dream, And then watching, interacting with the presence of God with you is a dream. And the only reason we're able to do that is because we have a bunch of courageous people here. You are courageous. And I see us as we are seeking God, I know we're getting more whole. And there are parts of us that are getting healed and parts of you that are getting healed. And there are things that are on the heart of God, but also in your heart that we're going to step in together. And I'm going to get to watch you step into it, you, your family, and even things that are going to happen in our city because of how we seek God together. And so thank you for being those kind of people. Today I want to talk about, I have actually shared this message before, and as I was praying for today, I kept coming back to this, and it's something that, you know, life is a journey. There's highs, lows, we go around things, sometimes we go in circles, but we, you know, go from glory to glory. And this one thing, I feel like if we could get this and learn to steward this, we will be able to step into who God has created us to be. And I want to start with the context of Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth, and then he goes in to create all the different parts of the earth, and then he creates man. And then in Genesis 2, it picks up when he puts man in the garden. And I want to read that together in Genesis 2, 15. It says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" So the context here is God created man to be powerful and free, created a whole garden and said, "You can eat of everything except for one thing." So I'm learning a lot about God in this. He actually invites us into a space of partnering with him. Do you know it says to tend and to keep? To tend is to dress, cultivate, and to manage. What a cool thing that God creates. It says, and I want you to manage this. But there's one tree, only one, that you can't eat from. I learned a second thing about God. He is not afraid of our choices. I mean, if I was God, I'd be like, let's put that one behind the locked cupboard. You cannot have that. That's where the chocolate is, or that's where the things you shouldn't have. I'm like, oh no, we're going to put it right in the middle because I trust you to tend and to keep. I actually want you to take that place. I'm like, okay, Lord, I see you and I want to partner with you. So even as we seek God and we dream to step into who he's created us to be, I believe that we need to learn to become good stewards of what he's given us, who he's created us to be. And I think one of the biggest things for us to steward is that space between our ears. It's behind our eyes and we all have it. It's our brains, it's our minds. The things that we choose to think about, to ruminate on, to partner with, I believe will lead us and really determine our future. And so today I want to talk about that. I believe that this is an invitation for us to step into another level of stewardship that will determine our future. So thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you for your spirit, for your kindness, how you draw us in love and delight, God. And you're such a good father. I feel your faithfulness throughout my life, but I also see it in this room and over people's stories. God, so we say yes and amen to you. Yes and amen to what you're saying. And we keep our hearts open to you, God. We ask that you would continue to lead us, direct us, and guide us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. In being powerful, full, and free, one of the biggest things that we can steward is our thoughts and our minds. And our minds are super dynamic. That God created us as amazing beings and creatures. I have some fun facts about our minds up on the screen. Here's a couple things. The first one is the adult brain weighs about 3 pounds. Some of you might be 4-pounders. Some of you might be a little less. But we're about an average of 3 pounds. And the new study, there's a study out by Queen's University, suggests that an average person has 6,270 thoughts. These are thought-worm thought chains per day. So we are always thinking of things, and this is actually whole chains of thought. So a lot is happening inside of our brains. If you laid out all the blood vessels in your brain from end to end, they would stretch halfway to the moon, about 120,000 miles. This is all happening inside of us right now, guys. The next one says there's about 100 billion neurons in a human brain, which is about the same as the number of stars in the Milky Way galaxy. And then lastly, the brain generates about 12 to 25 watts of electricity. This is enough power. This is enough to power a low voltage LED bulb. I'm like, there's just a lot of stuff going on. God made us powerful. And I love for us to acknowledge that, because that's what he's also invited us to steward and to partner with him. And the more that we can be aware of that, we can do a good job at this. And so the next thing is the power of our thoughts. So we know that our brain is powerful, but then what we choose to think about, how we navigate through life and how we feel largely depends on our thoughts. Our thoughts are powerful. They determine how we feel, our decisions, our actions, every part of our life that we can control. Your thoughts are one of the most powerful tools you will ever have in changing your lives. There's the cognitive behavior therapy model is a very important one in psychology. And in it, it says that the model states that events lead to thoughts, thoughts lead to feelings, feelings lead to behavior, and behavior always has consequence, like we know. It is not the events themselves that determine how you feel and behave. It's your thoughts about these events that trigger the sequence of feelings, behaviors, and consequences. This is cognitive behavioral therapy model. You can see it up there. And I love looking at this and being aware of this, because sometimes, I don't know about you, but if you ever feel like a victim of things that happen around you, like, oh, it's raining today. I didn't want it to rain today. I'm like, who is in control of that? Not me. Maybe me stepping in the authority of Christ saying, peace be still, and then the sun's out. But in general, there's certain things in life we cannot control, but we do get to choose how we respond and how we think. And how we think is huge, because what we think will dictate and impact how we feel and ultimately how we behave. For example, in the South, we move, and I realized, wow, the South is very affected by weather. And I was surprised. I grew up in a space that had a lot of cold weather and rain. But when things rain here, I'm like, where did all the people go? It just affects everything. So when an event happens, everyone has a different thought. Some of us think, I should get a blanket and go get on my couch. I don't know. I'm not sure what you do. That's what I think people must do. Oh, but I grew up in Northern California on the coast, and it rained all the time. And so I would go running in the rain, and I'd be like, oh, it feels like little sprinkles of kisses on my face from heaven while I run. That's Candace's thought and her feelings about it. But we all get to choose what we think about things. We might not get to control all the things, but we do get to decide how we want to steward our thoughts. And these things are powerful, and they do impact our lives. And I love to share this story, because it's fun to laugh at things that have happened in your life, and then it's even a bonus when you get to learn from them. And so when Eric and I were first married, we got married at 21, and the first year, couple years of our marriage, we got to travel a lot and lead missions teams, and we were helping with the youth ministry. And it ended up being, I think for the first year and a half, we were never really separated for more than maybe like a weekend or something. And it didn't, nothing that when life is just normal, you don't really notice those things. You just move along until he comes home from work one day and he says, Candace, I want to talk to you. Can you sit down for a moment? And I'm like, yeah, I wonder why I need to sit down. He's like, so I went to work today, and just so you know, I didn't decide this. I didn't ask for it. I'm like, okay, decide what and ask for what. And he said, well, I went in and my Uncle Bob was supposed to go with my dad to Brazil to go to a Randy Clark conference or event. And my uncle can't go. And so when I went into work, someone said, Eric, you should go if your uncle can't go. And he said, no, I don't know. I don't have the money. You know, they're like, it's okay. Here, raise money for Eric. He's going to Brazil. He's going to need some money and clothes. And he's like, no, I'm not going to Brazil. Don't give money. This is what he told me, he said. and then they raised all this money. And he's like, but then supposed to go like in a couple days or a week. I need to get a visa. Like, oh yeah, we can take you there. You can go to San Francisco, get a visa. Then now you have all the money. So now you can go to Brazil with your dad, to Randy Clark. And so Eric goes, so I guess I'm going to Brazil, or I just wanted to tell you or talk to you about it. So he sat down and I'm like, okay. And I'm not sure if I get a decision or not. He's telling me and he's not sure if he has a decision or not, but this happened. So I have money and in a couple of days, I'm going to go to Brazil. And we just like, okay, kind of took a moment, process. And I'm like, well, that's a really neat opportunity. And they're like, wow, we've done a lot of stuff in the last, you know, season, but this one's for you. Okay, that's neat. We'll be gone for X amount of days. Okay, how's it going to be? We'll figure it out, you know. And then over the night, you sleep on the idea, you wake up, and we continue to talk. And then we become, you know, aware, like, wow, that's a really long ways away. And that's a while. We haven't been separated that long in a year and a half. Gosh. And then it was probably me, but I had this thought, wow, airplanes crash. And you're going to go all the way from California down to Brazil over all that water. Gosh, I hope you make it back. You know, and like, yeah, God, it does happen. I mean, it probably won't happen, but would you still go if you were going to die? Yeah, we should. Yeah, we would go. We would always say yes to God, you know. And somehow, I kid you not, within a period of 2 days, we went from, oh, okay, this is a neat opportunity, to, wow, you're probably going to die. And I wonder, I think God still wants you to go because he opened the door for you to go and people gave you money. And wow, I've loved being married to you for a year and a half. Well, I've loved being married to you for a year and a half. And then it kind of got a little like a funeral. We were just, but we really loved each other. And so there were tears, but we would always say yes to God. And it was like a bit of torment. I still went to work the next day and we only had a couple more days left, but it was tormenting just thinking how much I loved Eric and that he was such a good husband for a year and a half. And that I would say yes to God if that's how he just wanted to give me a husband for a year and a half, you know? And, but then we were so tormented. We were like, just before we like make the final yes and you leave, we should just call Chris and Kathy to make sure we're just not being crazy or missing something, or if God's really trying to warn us and we just didn't heed it. So we call Chris and Kathy. We just had landlines. You get on a line, I get a line. We're like, hi guys, can we talk to both of you for a moment? They're like, sure. What's going on? Are you okay? Yeah, we just want to share what we're walking through. Yeah, yeah. We're like, well, Eric got invited to go to Brazil and all this money. It feels like such a neat opportunity. But we really feel like he's going to die when he goes. They were so kind. They didn't laugh. They just were like, uh-huh. And we were wondering, so what are you wondering? We're wondering if he's going to die. Do you think God still wants him to go? Like, we just need to make a decision. He's like, okay. Can I ask you a question? Yeah. First question is, does God use fear to speak to you? That's a good question. No. Okay, my other question is, who do you think is speaking to you then? I was like, okay, goodbye, thank you. But you laugh because you can relate. I felt like we were two healthy 21, 22-year-old people that I think we're pretty smart, and somehow it turned that fast. We both chose to partner with fear enough to where we questioned if it was God who was trying to warn us that he was gonna die in an airplane crash. Enough to where we both were tormented for a few days. And I'll tell you what happened. After we got off, they prayed for us, we got off the phone. It really was a simple conversation because there were two simple questions and brought a lot of clarity instantly. They prayed for us, and I tell you, the torment stopped instantaneously because we could recognize what we were partnering with and we stopped agreeing with it. We're like, this is silly. I know that was God not talking. I don't know what happened. We just started entertaining it and just partnering with it. And we both did at the same time. But he didn't leave for two or three more days. And I had days full of peace. I felt thankful that he was going. I sent him off in peace, gave him a big hug, and was so excited about what God was doing. And let me tell you, he went to Brazil with his dad, and that was Bill's first trip to Brazil with Randy Clark. And it was so impacting for both of them, for all the things that's happening in their lives, but also at Bethel. And how cool is it that we didn't miss out because we didn't choose to partner with fear ultimately? I'm like, these are the kind of things that we all get the opportunity to decide. I think that stewarding our thoughts and our minds is one of the biggest things that we get the opportunity to make decisions with in our lives. And I like us to be aware of it and be aware of how powerful it is because it's happening all the time. I know that some of you are in here and that there are things that you are getting messed with or you're having to decide. And it's not because you're crazy. It's because we don't always know everything and we have to step out and we don't know how it's going to transpire. But we get the opportunity to choose what we partner with. That means what we choose to invite in, what we choose to think about, what we choose to allow to roll around in our brain. And I tell you, thoughts can come from all different places. And just because you think about it doesn't mean you have to keep thinking about it. Just because a thought comes in your brain, you can make a lot of decisions. You could be like, whoa, that was weird. I'm just going to let that one go. You could be like, ooh, I'm not sure about this one. God, is this from you? Because you could get thoughts from God. I get thoughts from pizza last night. I get thoughts from movies I watched or book or ideas. I get thoughts and feelings from when I walk in different rooms of people. I can feel what people are feeling. Or if someone's feeling really insecure or really worried, I might not actually feel it, but the thought will come in my head and I'm like, what is that? I'm not naturally like that. I think sometimes thoughts come from straight from the pit of hell. You're like, that doesn't belong in my brain. That is not my portion. And we need to identify it so that we don't just think, oh, this is just me or this is God talking to me. Because then what happens is we end up living in cycles and circles instead of moving from glory to glory and actually following him and obeying him with our lives and giving him everything, even though that's what our heart is to do. So I believe in the simple fact that we could understand this is the first step in us learning how to steward well and who God has called us to be. And here's the thing about fear. Fear is a monster and it'll always take more than you want to give. You go like, oh, I'll just let fear come in. You could just have a seat right here because, yeah, I am afraid. And let's think about this for a moment. Why should I be afraid? But then before you know it, fear is taking you hostage and you're in the corner of your own life and you don't have any type of stewardship or control because you gave it all over. Fear will never play fair. So whenever we took one of our counselors when we were at Bethel long back in the day, we went on a missions trip with them, and you get extra time with people when you're on a missions trip because you're traveling across the country together. And I remember I think it was a Subway conversation, and they are older, so I always love to ask older people questions too because you learn a lot, and they've had a lot more experience than you. And we were talking, and they were saying about all the people they counsel in their office, and they're like, yep, I've made a decision long ago. If I'm afraid of something, that's what I do. I just look fear in the face so it never has a place in my life. I'm like, that's a good, I like that. That's what I'm going to do. So if you see me doing something crazy like bungee jumping, it's just because I don't do fear. No, really. And I believe that there's people in this room that are battling fear, torment, anxiety. And I know that God wants to set you free today because his nature is deliverer. Even as we're worshiping, I begin to feel more whole. And as I get more free, I feel more whole because things start lining up and things that are not of him just start falling off. But we will make sure to pray for you before we leave because you are not to be tormented and you are not to, that's not what God has for you. And I know it can happen to any of us. And especially when we put ourselves in situations that are just a little more vulnerable. And courageous people often do that because you're stepping out and stepping into new things. In Mark 4, verse 35 through 41, this is when Jesus calms the storm. And there's a lot of stuff I learn about God in here that I want to share with you. Verse 35, it says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Let's stop for a moment. So they're in a boat, and it's evening time. And I just want to acknowledge that evening time is just a vulnerable time. Everything can seem fine during the day, but something just changes at nighttime. And so just understanding that is like, oh, be mindful what you choose to scroll, read, watch in the evening. We have to put a little bit of extra awareness and guards on us because it's a little bit more vulnerable space. And then it says, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." And I say this to a room of courageous people. So many of you have stepped out, say yes to the new, say yes to jumping, but it means that you're crossing into something new, and that also is a vulnerable space. So in that, you're not crazy when stuff comes against you, but it also requires you to steward to another degree. And understanding the power of our mind and thoughts, we have to get really good at honing that in and going, okay, Lord, where are you at? What's your voice? Because that's what I will choose to entertain and partner with. And then if it's not that, then you just know, you just leave it there. It might have come and had a thought, but it might have been one thought, but I did not think about it. Continues in verse 39, speaking of Jesus. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" We get to see Jesus as the Prince of Peace, who has authority over the elements. That's the Jesus who lives inside of us. So let's not forget that. As we're called to steward, we also have the Prince of Peace living in us, and that is our portion. So when things are contrary to that, we go back and find where Jesus is at. Because he is peace, even when things are chaos around us. My other question is, who's in this room that needs Jesus to arise in your situation right now? We're going to pray for you, and I believe that you will walk out 100% different than you came in. And just like while I was on the phone with Chris and Kathy, as soon as he asked that one question, "Who do you think is talking to you?" It was that simple. It was gone because we stopped even being confused about maybe this is good, maybe this is God. No, it wasn't. And then everything switched right there. So what do we do? How do we manage our thoughts? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 4 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down every argument and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." I love that scripture. That scripture gives me a filter of knowing what to do with all the things that are coming through my mind. See, our minds are like a garden. In a garden, when you're wanting to grow stuff, what do? You plant seeds, or if you don't want to go through all that time, you go to the store and you plant a little start. Someone else seeded it for you. But they all start with seeds. So you plant seeds of what you want to grow. I want to grow zucchini. I want to grow tomatoes. I want to grow peaches. Here's the other thing about gardening. This is my least favorite part, is there are things that grow that I did not plant. And they are called weeds. And weeds, what they do is they take from the nutrients of what you want. They compete, makes everything competing. They take from the water. They take your time. They take your fruit because they are making everything compete. And so as a gardener, I go in there and I have to take my time, but I have to take my hands and pluck the weeds out because I want to protect what I want to grow. And the same is true for our minds. The things that we want to be growing in us, we need to be intentional and protect it. But then there might be other things that come in. We might intentionally plant them. We don't realize. We watch a movie, read a book, get in a conversation, start complaining and not realizing we just started to partner with the spirit of fear or anxiety. And you're like, "Oops, okay, now this is starting to grow. I need to take that and say, you do not belong here. I am not growing you anxiety, and I'm not going to be schizophrenic. Goodbye." But here's the other thing about growing things, is I've been in places where there are certain species that just grow without being planted. Like in Northern California, poison oak. I hear you have poison ivy. I don't know poison ivy as much, but poison oak, some people are extremely allergic to it. My husband being one of them. And I mean, he'll just start just twitching when he walks by or start itching because he has a lot of experiences growing up where he's had to go get shots and things because it gets such so bad reaction. Poison oak, blackberries, they're extremely invasive plants, and you don't even have to plant them. They just grow up, and they grow like weeds, and they'll take over any space. And I always thought it was almost miraculous in the worst way in Reading, because in the summer, it's 110 degrees for a long time, and you have to irrigate anything that you want to grow, except for poison oak. Poison oak will just grow. It'll thrive. It'll flourish. And it hasn't rained for like 4 months. And what's this shiny red-leafed thing? Don't touch it. You might be really allergic to it. But it grows without being planted. And there's certain things like poison oak, to get rid of it, you have to set it on fire or go get goats. You have to be extremely diligent to try and get rid of this. You might not have planted it, but you have to just do anything to eradicate it. And there are things in our lives that happen in our minds that are like that. Like, I don't know where it came from. I didn't plant it, but somehow all of a sudden in my brain, I am actually battling this and it's not going to go away on its own. Sometimes you're just going to have to go after and be like, I'm going to set this thing on fire. You do not belong here. And I'm going to take authority. And it's taking those thoughts captive, knowing who Christ is and saying, this does not line up with God. This is not who I am, and I will not waste my life letting this send me around circles and circles of torment. I know what God has for us. He has peace. He has life, hope, and a future. But we have to learn to steward and partner with him in our minds, in our thoughts. Final words of encouragement. What do we think about and meditate on? Meditate is to dwell on anything in thought, to contemplate, to study, to turn or revolve any subject in the mind. Psalms 19, verse 15 says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. What beautiful things to fill our minds with. And then I love Philippians 4, 8, 9. This one is like Candace's standard base verse. I'm a very logical person. And when I start to get messed with or a little confused, or even feel tempted to be like, why don't you come and play with me? I want to complain. Just come a little closer. Like, let's just have a conversation. Then I go back to Philippians 4, 8, and 9. And I say, okay, what is truth? In my conversation, my thoughts have to line up with this. And then I just use this as my filter, and life goes back to good. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Let these things roll around and revolve around in your mind. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and we all love this, God of peace will be with you. That is our portion. And here is a simple, simple pathway to live in a space of peace. So we are going to pray, because I know that that is just part of life. It's part of us tending and keeping and cultivating what God has given us, is learning to steward our minds and our thoughts. And so I want to take some time to pray for people who are beginning tormented by fear, by anxiety, even discouragement or depression, because I know you're not to leave like that. We're all together, and we're going to pray, and I believe that things are going to shift in a heartbeat. But then also, we've got some really basic things that we've talked about to even stay in that space of peace. So if you're here and you're like, thank you, that's me, and I actually want to walk out of here without any fear or anxiety, it can actually go back to the pit of hell. I want you to stand, because we're going to pray for you, and you are going to be delivered here this morning. And we are going to just rejoice with you. Yeah, you don't need to go home with any torment. You know, and yeah, anyone who wants prayer, stand up for that. Okay, so now everyone else, we're going to do what we've done already a couple times this morning. I want everyone to at least have one person, if not more, with their hand on them. Because like I always say, the benefit of being together is that we're together. And we can stand in faith together. Thank you, guys. Thanks for being generous and kind in moving to each other.
Okay, we're going to pray. Everybody have somebody? I thank you, God, for our friends and family. I thank you for who you are in them. I thank you for who you created them to be. And Holy Spirit, I welcome you. I welcome you just as peace, as truth, as counselor. And we pray for our friends. We just declare life over them. And I ask, God, that you would deliver them from torment of fear, anxiety, depression, paralyzing discouragement. We just say no more in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you that you are the God of hope. And I pray, Jesus, that you would be hope in them. And that even now, God, that as you deliver them from fear and anxiety, God, that you would fill them with your presence. Fill them with peace. I pray peace that just even covers you from your head all the way down and fills your heart, your spirit, your mind, your body. Yeah, we say yes and amen to the promises of God over you and in you. Thank you, Lord. And I just pray for a fresh dose of strength and courage today. God, that you'd give them eyes to see you, ears to hear you. Yeah, and I pray that you would guard their hearts, their minds with your peace. That you'd even put angels around them to guard them, but also to minister to them. So we just call our friends blessed and highly favored. Yeah, and I pray, God, that you just keep them under the shadow of your wings. Yes, we bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Yes. God's so good. Before we wrap up here, you guys can stand. We're going to just do a final prayer. I want us to put our hands on our heads. God gave us a lot of stuff, but this brain that he's given us is really powerful and dynamic. And I want to pray for us and even blessing our minds today. So thank you, God. Thank you for how you made us dynamic, that our brains can do so many things, like even power a low voltage light bulb. Yeah, I bless you. I bless you, brain. I bless you, body. Yeah, and I just bless you to do what you're created for. Yeah, to be full of truth, to be full of peace. God, I pray that you would teach us to steward our minds and our thoughts. Help us to be aware of them and even quicken our spirits when we begin to partner with things that lead to death and that lead to torment, so that we could not do that. And I pray, God, that you would quicken our minds to even be aware of what you're saying, what you're doing, what you're calling us to. Yeah, I bless everybody here. I bless you, and I just pray peace over you. I pray that your minds would be full of peace, because we know that God doesn't give it a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. So I just speak sound mind over you through and through. Thank you, Lord, for health. Healthy brains, healthy minds. Yeah, spirit, soul, and body. Yeah, so we bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Yes, thank you, Lord, for sound mind. And I just also want to remind you, those of you who got prayer, don't be surprised when you walk out if you're different. Don't be surprised when you sit down and be like, what's different? Oh, wow, I'm actually not being tormented anymore. Prayer is powerful, and make sure you share it with somebody. I want to leave you with the final blessing out of Numbers 6, verse 24 through 26. And just receive this as you go about the rest of your day, as you get ready to leave. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So we receive that in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.